So good evening. On this auspicious evening, where so many of us have been working with the incredible events that are happening that happened in Washington, and here we are, all gathered together to continue our discussion of the Genjo Koan, the realization of the truth that is appearing in each moment in our life. That we could realize it, huh? We won't be distracted. That we could notice what is appearing in each moment and actualize it and realize it. To be free of our delusions, so we don't not filled with ideas about what is arising in the moment, but we're actually present to what's arising in the moment. So in the first four sections, I think he's taken us, Dogen has taken us on a kind of breathtaking ride, showing us the urgent need for us to be free in our minds so that we can find new relationships with reality. We can really relate to reality, to what is, in a fresh way. To be alive to what's arising. Then, of course, in the second section, he talked about explored the ideas of delusion and enlightenment, self and other, in the third. And in the fourth, outlined a path of study for us to find our original self. And now we come to the fifth section, where he refines the teaching on what is the self. And he uses time as a central metaphor in this section, time and space. It begins, section 5, when you ride in a boat and watch the shore, you might assume that the shore is moving. But when you keep your eyes closely on the boat, you can see that the boat moves. Similarly, if you examine myriad things with a confused body and mind, you might suppose that your mind and essence are permanent. When you practice intimately and return to where you are, it will be clear that nothing at all has an unchanging self. So, I think at the beginning, Dogen is asking us, where's your point of reference here? Huh? If it's the boat or the self, then the self sees the shore the way we look at history, maybe. We see life unfolding over there. We see an auspicious inauguration today, over there. That's what's happening over there. But if the point of reference is the shore, or reality as it is, then we experience ourselves unfolding with this inauguration, unrolling within the activity of the world, the activity of not to. We are inaugurating. And we are also grieving in Gaza. Also in Iraq. In Afghanistan. And on Cole Street corner on the Bowery. You may hear in this an echo from the second section that we talked about last week. To carry the self forward and illuminate myriad things is delusion. That myriad things come forth and illuminate the self is awakening. What's tricky is that language can confuse us because we tend, you know, not only we stick to our words, to our ideas, but we really stick to words. And as I mentioned on the first talk, I believe, Dogen's very plays with words and like taffy. He moves the meaning of words around. So we can't just get stuck with one. Oh, in this metaphor, the boat is the self and the shore is the other. You have to be very careful of that kind of thing with him. Because, in actual fact, both the shore and the boat are moving. Both self and world are unfurling in every moment. And what is this difference between boat and shore? Isn't the boat flowing into the shore and the shore flowing into the boat, just as the self flows into reality and reality flows into the self? If you were able to, the great celebration that took place in Washington was also taking place for you. In you. And you in it. I think you can hear the sense of that from the first part of Elizabeth Alexander's poem that she read today. I'll just read the first part, because I think it really goes right with what Dogen is saying here. Each day we go about our business, walking past each other, catching each other's eyes or not, about to speak or speaking. All about us is noise. All about us is noise and bramble, thorn and din. Each one of our ancestors on our tongue. Someone is stitching up a hem, darning a hole in a uniform, patching a tire, repairing the things in need of repair. Someone is trying to make music somewhere with a pair of wooden spoons on an oil drum, with cello, boombox, harmonica, voice. A woman and her son wait for the bus. A farmer considers the changing sky. A teacher says, "Dig out your pencils. Begin." We encounter each other in words, words spiny or smooth, whispered or declaimed, words to consider, to reconsider. Beautiful. So like Dogen, Alexander is expanding our notions of the self, who we are, reminding us of the sounds around us, of the past, our ancestors, of the textures of the sky. When the farmer looks at the sky, what is sky and what is farmer? The noise of the world, she calls it. Workers, mothers, farmers, teachers, brambles and thorns. Dogen writes, similarly, if you examine myriad things with a confused body and mind, you might suppose that your mind and essence are permanent. That your mind and essence are permanent. Of course, this is the basic Buddhist truth of impermanence. The Buddhist view that everything is impermanent. We want to think that we're permanent, don't we? We like that. This being that goes on forever. This being that observes the changes in the world, as if we are sitting in an armchair watching history unfurl, and we ourselves are unmoving. Or walking through this neighborhood here, saying, oh, I remember when Soho was just a bunch of abandoned old loft spaces. As if I were the same person that walked through this neighborhood in the late 70s, early 80s, as if nothing had changed. Until I look in a mirror. Oh! Who is that? Still, we think the body and mind can change, but somehow there's some little special thing there that doesn't change. And somehow this little special thing is me. And that this little special thing will continue forever. I think we think that. But if we turn the light inward, as Dogen says, he says, when you practice intimately and return to where you are, it will be clear that nothing at all has unchanging self. If we're truly intimate with our experience, truly intimate, awake, not numbed out or not dreaming about how we like to be, we will recognize that we are a constantly shifting array of impressions and ideas and sounds and colors and names that are coming through us, into us and out of us. And it is that realization that returns us to where we are, which is the actualization, the Genjo Koan, the actualization of this very moment. That is the understanding that this is our original self, the one that he talked about in the previous section. Like Elizabeth Alexander's self, it is composed of everything. Or as Whitman said, I contain multitudes. I contain multitudes. To practice intimately and return to where you are. What is that? To be so close to yourself that you realize that you are not separate. You return. So it's like you turn back, you know. And we say in Zazen, we turn the light inward. We return to who we really are. And that is the flux of change. How do we return to who we really are? How do we get that fresh quality in our minds that are numbed? How can we realize that nothing at all has an unchanging self? Nothing. Everything changes. As we sit zazen, we sit meditation, we can look at our meditation period as just the same old, same old. Or we can be surprised and awake and alive to what is arising in the moment. When you ride in a boat and watch the shore, you might assume that the shore is moving. But when you keep your eyes closely on the boat, you can see that the boat moves. Similarly, if you examine myriad things with a confused body and mind, you might suppose that your mind and essence are permanent. When you practice intimately and return to where you are, it will be clear that nothing at all has an unchanging self. So this is really setting us up for the next section where we will look at life and death. But first we have to really look at within ourselves, what is it that keeps us from seeing that everything is impermanent? What is that tendency, that Velcro tendency to grab on and say, this will not change. This special little part of me will not change. But rather than asking that question of you tonight in the exercise I'm going to give you now, instead, I'm going to ask you a different question, which is, if you were able to realize truly that nothing has an unchanging self, if you were really able to get that, not that you could answer it on a Buddhist quiz, but actually that you would get it in your heart, what difference would that make in your life? What difference would it make in your life if you really, truly understood that nothing has an unchanging self? If you really, truly understood the truth of impermanence? So what I'd like us to do is to break into groups of three, and each person will have 5 minutes to tell the other two what you think, how your life would be different if you could truly accept impermanence.